How many got your Bible with you? Wave them at me. Now, I want you to stay with it tonight, okay? I want you to stay in the Bible. Now, tonight, I'm going to do something a little bit different than I normally do. I'm going to read 24 verses of Scripture going to be read to you. I want you to see it all. So I want you to go to the 14th chapter of the book of Leviticus. Go there right now. And I've asked Pastor Chad, so it'll take a little bit of pressure off of me, reading 23 verses and a little bit of stress. I asked Pastor Chad if he would come up and read these verses, and then I want him to pray for me. Would you do it?
Page 161 in your Schuyler Canterbury Bible.
I got it.
Amen. Leviticus 14, starting in verse number 33. The Word of God says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, When ye be come into the land of Canaan, which I give to you for a possession, and I put the plague of leprosy in a house of the land of your possession, and he that owneth the house shall come and tell the priest, saying, It seemeth to me there is, as it were, a plague in the house. Then the priest shall command that they empty the house before the priest go into it to see the plague, that all that is in the house be not made unclean. And afterward the priest shall go in to see the house. And he shall look on the plague. And behold, if the plague be in the walls of the house, with hollow strakes, greenish or reddish, which in sight are lower than the wall, then the priest shall go out of the house to the door of the house and shut up the house 7 days. And the priest shall come again the seventh day and shall look, and behold, if the plague be spread in the walls of the house, then the priest shall command, listen to this, that they take away the stones in which the plague is, and they shall cast them into an unclean place without the city. And he shall cause the house to be scraped within round about, and they shall pour out the dust that they scrape off without the city into an unclean place. And they shall take other stones and put them in the place of those stones. And he shall take other mortar and shall plaster the house. And if the plague come again and break out in the house, after that he hath taken away the stones, and after he hath scraped the house, and after it is plastered," listen to this, "then the priest shall come and look, and behold, if the plague be spread in the house, it is a fretting or painful leprosy in the house. It is unclean. And he shall break down the house, the stones of it, and the timber thereof, and all the mortar of the house. And he shall carry them forth out of the city into an unclean place. Moreover, he that goeth into the house all the while that it is shut up shall be unclean until the even. And he that lieth in the house shall wash his clothes, and he that eateth in the house shall wash his clothes. And if the priest shall come in and look upon it, and behold, the plague hath not spread in the house after the house was plastered, then the priest shall pronounce the house clean, because the plague is healed. And he shall take to cleanse the house 2 birds, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And he shall kill the one of the birds in an earthen vessel over running water. And he shall take the cedar wood, and the hyssop, and the scarlet, and the living bird, and dip them in the blood of the slain bird, and in the running water, and sprinkle the house 7 times. And he shall cleanse the house with the blood of the bird, and with the running water, and with the living bird, and with the cedar wood, and with the hyssop, and with the scarlet. But he shall let go the living bird out of the city into the open fields, and make an atonement for the house, and it shall be clean. This is the law for all manner of plague, of leprosy, and scowl, and for the leprosy of a garment, and of a house, and for a rising, and for a scab, and for a bright spot, to teach when it is unclean, and when it is clean. This is the law of leprosy. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you so much for every single word in this King James Bible. And even those passages of Scripture that seem obscure to us, Father, every single word is in there for a reason, and I know it. And I thank you so much for these passages of Scripture that point us to Jesus Christ. Now, Father, I know that this is a heavy and burdensome message that Pastor John's getting ready to preach. And so, Father, right now I pray that you touch him from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Father, I pray that he would preach like he's never preached before. And, Father, I pray that our hearts would be changed because of it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Chad. You did a great job reading, by the way. That was wonderful. Thank you for coming back. I really want to tell you I appreciate it. I see Angie back here. How's Leah doing? We've been praying for her. And it is good to be here tonight. How many came looking for something tonight?
Yes, sir.
I want to preach tonight. Our theme in these two chapters is leprosy. I'm not going to re-preach this morning. But leprosy is a picture of sin. If you didn't get that this morning, you need to get it now. Leprosy is a picture of sin. And the only thing that can cure leprosy is a supernatural work of God through the blood of Jesus. There's nothing can conquer sin like the blood. Where sin did abound, grace did much more about. And tonight, we have discussed and did a diagnosis of leprosy in the man in chapter 13. Then we did a diagnosis in 13, verse 46 through 59, a diagnosis of leprosy in the material or the garment, which represents the flesh. But tonight, I want to do a diagnosis of leprosy in the manor or house. In all three cases, the writer said, and found them unclean. I mentioned this morning that the word unclean is mentioned 28 times in these two chapters. And my title this morning was Unclean, Unclean, Unclean. Josh, when you label this tomorrow, put part one, unclean, unclean, unclean. Part two, unclean, unclean, unclean. But under part two, I want you to put the emphasis, the unclean house. That's what we're preaching on tonight. The unclean house. Now, if you notice, how many noticed this? Let me give you this real quickly. The scene of this writing, all of you do know, was in the wilderness. Did y'all get that? It was in the wilderness. Now, when it comes to verse 33 through verses 57, he is telling them, you're going to leave the wilderness and you're going to enter Canaan. Now, this is important. If you get anything, this is important. Now, Canaan, and I don't want to upset you with your gospel songs, okay? You know, people say in Canaan's fair land, and they always sing that like it's heaven. Canaan's not heaven. Canaan is the victory land. Canaan is the land of victory. You say, well, Well, how do you know it's not a picture of heaven? I know it's not a picture of heaven because when they went in Canaan, they fought. One of these days, we're going to a place there ain't going to be no more battles. Ain't going to be no more fighting. Ain't going to be no more wars. Ain't going to be no more anarchy. Somebody help me preach. Now, I'm going to give you four things tonight. And I'd like to ask the people on live stream to share this message as I preach it. And I'd like for you to share it when you get home. America needs to hear what I'm preaching tonight. Because, not because of the preacher. I am nothing tonight. The only thing makes me worth an ounce of good is the blood of Christ. I want you to notice four things tonight. And I'm talking about the home. I'm talking about an unclean house. First of all, in verse 34. He said, when ye come into the land of Canaan, which I give to you for a possession, and I put the plague of leprosy in the house of the land of your possession. Number one, you've got to start this thing off tonight with a realistic expectation. Just because you're saved, and just because you're even trying to do it right, doesn't mean there's not going to be a plague of leprosy come into your home. Somewhere along the line, we have been delivered a false narrative that once you're saved and once you're married, it's all a bed of roses and there'll be no conflict ever in your Christian life. Joe Osteen may like that, but I don't.
Amen. Come on, preacher.
And no conflict in your marriage. I want you to know something. If you're a living, breathing human being, you are going to have conflict. And the devil, do you not think the devil's going to fight the home? Because he wants to destroy your home so he can affect the church. Because as the home goes, so does the church. It's hard to have real revival. We got homes all messed up. Am I preaching? Just expect it. You say, well, I've been married 25 years. I don't think there will ever be anything happen to my home. We got this thing down. I got a preacher friend of mine who's one of the best preachers I've ever heard in my life. But he's divorced now. And it was an ugly divorce caused by adultery. You know what it was? He got self-confident. He took everything for granted. And I wonder how many couples in this room and how many homes in this room, your whole problem in life is you take everything you got for granted. Good preacher, Reverend. So you might as well just figure this out. Whether you've been married 1 month or 50 years, your home is still vulnerable to leprosy of sin and destruction.
You're right.
And I'm going to give you another thing. As some of you are going to raise your kids. And you know why you stay home together? You stay together for the kids. And some of you have raised your kids and everything in your marriage, all it was your kids. And now you've got an empty nest. I want to say every marriage, I'm going to look you right in your face. Your kids are wonderful and they're important and they're great. But I want you to know something. You better build your relationship while you don't have kids. So when they do leave the nest, you got something after they leave.
Amen.
I see it all the time.
Come on, preacher. Amen.
Now, I got that out of the way. Let me give you a second thing. Found in verse 36 and 37. Number two. What happened here was this man, let's read it. Verse 35. And he that owneth the house shall come and tell the priest, saying, it seemeth to be, as it were, a plague in the house. Then the priest shall command that they empty the house before the priest go in to see the plague. Now, I want you to know, write down number two. The risky examination. I want you to know something. You start taking a look, you're taking a risk. You start examining. Somebody help me preach. And start examining. Most likely, you're going to find something. You said, what's the risk? Well, let's see what the risk was. Well, number one, you're going to have to dump all the furniture out. How many of y'all got a lot of furniture? Raise up your hand. Come on, you bunch of heathens. I want you to know I got some furniture and it's heavy. And this old boy couldn't get it out of there. And it's heavy. And what would happen if I got lepers in my house? I'd go dump everything out of my house. Kim, you don't even know the junk you got. I mean, you're talking about your refrigerator, your 85-inch flat screen smart TV out. Everything dumped out.
Amen,
preacher. Come on now. See, it's going to expose some things when you take examination. But not only that, let's say you find something. Then you know what else happened? They had to go in, remove every stone, had to renovate. Anybody ever renovated a house? Take every stone out of the house. And renovate, take them all out. And then had to go in manually and scrape the plaster. You take a look and you really give an examination. You may have to do extreme renovation. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of homes in this room. The reason your marriage is tilting, going back and forth, is you just don't want to do. You don't want to take the risk to have to renovate and make change.
Amen.
Oh, that's what your whole problem is. You don't want to make changes. You don't want to change the decor. You don't want to change how it looks. You don't want to change anything. You just think, let's just keep on selling, and with the leprosy in the house, let's keep on going. No renovations, no cleaning, no cleaning the plaster. Let's just let it go. And 95% of all marriages do that very thing. They're not willing to take the risk that it takes to get a real miracle. You know why 53% of the Baptist churches have divorced folks in them? Is because somebody didn't take a risk and didn't examine and didn't dump it out and didn't let the preacher look. And the man of God look. And by the way, the man of God's a better counselor than your psychologist.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir. And I do a lot of mine right here in the pulpit. I'm doing that tonight. Oh, it's risky. You take a look at your home tonight. You know what? It may cause you some pain, Tyler, if you find out that you're not the man you ought to be in your home. And I'm using him because he's one of my associates and they get picked on all the time. If I use one of you, you'll get mad. He won't. Oh, you take a risk that you may find when we start examining you, Tyler, you're not loving your wife as Christ loved the church. You're not You're not sacrificing your life like Christ sacrificed the church. You're not sanctifying your wife like Christ sanctified the church. I want to tell you. I won't lie to you. I took a few looks at myself in my marriage in 47. By the way, 46 years I've been married. And at least I think I have some ground to preach this because I have been married for 46 years. And we have stayed together for 46 years through the thick and the thin. And if you think I hadn't had to look at some of my flaws, I want all y'all to know I have far more flaws than that lady back there in the back on the left side. She's far better Christian than I am, far better person than I am. Got a whole lot more going for her than I do. And I've got a lot of flaws. And you know what? When I look at that, I take a risk. Because sometimes it's painful, Jeff. And it's hurtful to me. Sometimes I have to just make the statement, you know what? I failed. I failed at that. I've been lousy. I'm a lousy communicator. I'm lousy in my contributing to the home. I'm just kind of lousy. You see, a lot of us don't want to risk admitting that we're lousy. See, we just want to say, paint a picture that everything's glorious. Got a lot of money, got a lot of material things, a lot of goods. So let's just say, everything's fine. And what you do, you put off the inevitable. And that is examining your home and examining your life. Am I preaching?
Yep, there you are.
Now, this is the point that I want to deal with. The third one. Y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
Look at verse 39. Now, here's the heart of the sermon. Right here. This is the heart. Look at verse 39. And the priest, see what they did, they closed the house up then for 7 days, then the priest comes back in. Verse 39. And the priest shall come again the seventh day and shall look. And behold, if the plague be spread in the walls of the house, then look what happened. Then the priest shall command that they take away the stones in which the plague is. And they cast him to an unclean place. So evidently they're unclean stones without the city. And he shall cause the house to be scraped within round about. And they shall pour the dust into the same unclean place. Then verse 42. And they shall take other stones and put them in the place of those stones. And he shall take other mortar and shall plaster the house. I call this a responsible renovation. Now, I've done something. I'm going to preach from it right here. I'm going to talk to you. Am I doing this all right? Am I doing this with some kind of dignity? I'm not too harsh, am I? I'm not out to be harsh. I'm not out to make you upset. But there had to be some stones taken out. Well, I'm going to call those stones something. Dave, I'm going to call them what they are. Because they destroy marriage. Now, these are not written in any particular order. I just wrote a bunch of them down. So one of them may be worse than others. Really don't matter. But see, here's what had to happen. They had to take the stones out. Now, here's what they done. First of all, they took unforgiveness out.
Yeah. Bless you, preacher.
By the way, you'll never have a home if you can't forgive one another. Then they took bitterness out. And I want to tell you, an unchecked marriage, not once in a while, a marriage that has not had proper maintenance will always end up in one or two of the people in the room bitter. Bitter. And I want you to know something. It is hard at the best to conquer bitterness. That's tough. Then number three, found another stone. Faithlessness. Your whole marriage has been a marriage of no faith. And no faithfulness. And no faithlessness. No faith. And by the way, if you don't have faith in the marriage that God's going to take you through, it probably won't get through.
Amen, preacher.
Then listen to this one. I'm just being straight with you. Self-righteousness. Sir, ma'am, I really don't want to hear that you ain't got no problems. We all do. And we come to this place in our marriage that we think we're self-righteous and we. It ain't me. It's poison. Well, this is not in any order, so I'm just writing them, going the way they're written. Then we need to take the stone of laziness out. There's just some men and women just downright lazy. They ain't worth a powder. What the hell you say that? Yeah, that's it. Just lazy. They're lazy about doing what's right for their wife or their husband. They're lazy about doing the right things. They're just lazy. And then there's another stone that has to be taken out. That's fear. There's no place in the home for fear. Not ungodly fear. Boy, this one. This stone's been taken out of my life a few times. Pride.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, buddy. We got too much of it, don't we? Just going to have to get that stone of pride and pull that sucker out. Paul calls pride goeth before the fall. And listen to this. Malice. You know what your home's become? A battleground. A war. Hey, when you get so mad at each other, you can't even sleep together. You got to go to separate bedrooms. Somebody's in a mess.
That's right. You're preaching right there. Yeah.
I ain't talking about just getting mad. I'm talking about malice. Then jealousy. I want you to know I'm not jealous of my wife. And she's not jealous of me. And she don't have to put a GPS on my ankle to find out where I'm going because she know I ain't going to know where bad. And I know she ain't either. I'm not jealous of her.
Amen, preacher.
Oh, I'm going to... Addiction.
Oh, my.
It is sad, but there's a lot of homes has drug addiction in their homes. And I'm not going to preach all that. Lust. See, lust. See, there's a difference between passion and lust. Passion is the normal sexual activity of a man and wife that is right and honorable. The Bible says so. But lust is something that's ungodly and filthy and something that God detests in my preaching. You got to take it out. Then lust turns into pornography. Then lust and pornography turns into an affair. Then the affair blows everything up. I ain't going to stay long. Then gossip. You know, best thing you could do is not gossip about your spouse. God knows how wicked they are. And let him have them. That's all I'll say. Apathy. You know what apathy is? Not getting something done when you're supposed to. And being apathetic. And not taking the initiative to get it fixed before. See, before I go to the next one. Oh, I better not. Before I go to the next one. See, what you could have done, instead of removing all the stones, you could have done what Denny McGrew does to mold sometimes. You could have got some keels and covered that up with keels and then painted it over. Now, I'm sure you ain't ever done that. You know why you didn't do it? Tell me why you didn't do it. You know what the problem of most marriages is? They want to paint over the problem, want to gloss over the problem, and not get to the root of the problem. You just want to paint over it. Then worry. If you ain't people of faith and all you are is people of worry, God have mercy. And this is good. Unbelief. We got to be believing people. Rebellion. I'm talking about absolute rebellion toward God and toward your spouse. Idolatry. And materialism. Now, I'm going to stop there. I'm going to slow down on that one. Nobody said it was wrong for you to have material things. If Marguerite would let me, I'd get me a Ford 500 Mustang tomorrow. But trust me, she won't let me. I'd have one tomorrow. I love them things. I got a real weak spot for them things. But material things are not bad, but listen to this. But when material things has you, then it becomes bad. Not having things, but when they have you. You know, you can have all the material things in the world, but if you and your wife are not close together, you ain't got nothing.
Amen.
Now, I got to hurry. If I go a couple minutes over, will y'all be patient? Now, did y'all notice what the priest had to do? He had to take out all the stones, didn't he? But what did he do after he took them out, Jeff? He replaced them. Now, here's what you got to do. See, this is what we got to do. First of all, we need to replace those stones, first, number one, with love. Because love covereth a multitude of sins. Then instead of self-righteousness, we put in the stone of selflessness. And then we put in the stone of righteousness. Then we place the stone of meekness, which is not weakness. And then we put in the stone of humility. And then we put in the stone of communication. Then we put in the stone of consecration. I want to ask before I go, how many people in this room have I married? And I told you four or five things you ought to do, like communication, consecration, contributing. Probably most of you. Have you forgot them? And then we need to put in temperance, self-control.
Yes, sir.
Then long-suffering.
Oh, yeah.
Then we better put in a stone of joy. And then we need to put, because of all we've had is wars, some peace in there. And I'm not going to let no fluids out. I'm easy right now. Then we need to put purity in there. Then after, and by the way, there's probably more, Nellie. Then after we do that, we've got to plaster it back over. And what is the plaster? We'll tell you what the plaster is. It's grace and mercy. Put a little grace in it. Cover all those stones with grace and mercy.
Bless your heart, preacher.
Because see, without grace and mercy, your marriage will never make it. Mercy's not getting what you deserve. There's some homes here probably deserve to be blown up. And if they get repaired, it's only the mercy of God. And then the grace of God getting something you don't deserve. Maybe you don't deserve a second chance in your home. Maybe you've been such an ignorant person that you probably just deserve being left out in the rain. Am I preaching? But see, grace gives you something you don't deserve. Am I preaching? Now, I'm not going to end up negative tonight. But I am going to say one negative thing. You better listen. Listen to me carefully. Here's what happened. The priest could come back after we'd done the renovation. And he did, Jeff. And the priest came back in one case. And after the renovation, after the plaster, and he came back. And the green and red came back. He, look at the Bible, verse 43 and 44. Had to tear the whole thing down. Now I want to tell all y'all, you don't want your marriage to get in a place where it's unfixable and the whole thing goes down. And just, they ain't a preacher alive that'll help you. They ain't a psychiatrist or psychologist can bail you out. Because this just went too far. Now, I'm not saying there's anybody that's irreparable here. But I want you to know something. You cannot push and push and push and push and expect there might not be a collapse. Lastly, I'm done. I better end this thing right. Then lastly, and I want you to know, so are y'all with me? In verse 48 to the end of the chapter, I see a redemptive celebration. So here's what happened. Somebody, come on, somebody, help me. They did the renovation. They got it fixed up. And after 7 days, the priest came in and pronounced it clean. Clean! Notice this morning with the garments, he burnt them. But for the man and the manner, guess what he done? Look at it. Will y'all look at it? I'm done. I'm finished. There's a lot of preaching here tonight. Look what he done. Do you remember the sermon this morning? Look at verse 49. And he shall take to cleanse the house two birds. How many heard that this morning? And cedar wood, and scallop and hyssop. And he shall kill the one bird over earthen vessel, over running water. And he shall take the cedar wood and the hyssop and the scarlet and the living bird and dip them in the blood of the slain bird and in the running water and sprinkle the house seven times. And he shall cleanse the house with the blood of the bird and with the running water and with the living bird and with the cedar wood and with the hyssop and with the scarlet. But he shall let the living bird out of the city into the open fields. You know what mom and dad did? Let's go over this morning's sermon, that same ritual. The two birds are there to cleanse sin. One was slain, that's Christ's death. The hyssop is Christ's humiliation. The scarlet is the precious blood. The one bird lives, that's Christ's resurrection, bearing your sins. You know what husband and wife done, Chad? I could see them. They went out arm in arm. The priest did the ritual. Sprinkled the house seven times of blood. Perfect cleansing. Then he dipped that living bird in the blood of the dead bird. And in front of that couple, he takes the bird. And they watch the contamination, the corruption, the sin, the malice, the wickedness fly away. Amen. And they hug each other. Their home is repaired. Their home is fixed. Not by man, but by God. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. Amen. I'm done. Now, I am not going to beat you over the head of guilt. But I'll tell you what, there ought to be some couples, whether you're having marital problems or not, ought to just come around here and say, you know, I don't want to get there. I've had a marriage seminar tonight. And I want to pray. And I want to get right. And you know, there's some of you need to get your heart right so God can work in your heart. I hope I've helped you tonight. Chad's going to finish the invitation. I'm going to have you stand because I'm going to go over here at my altar and pray for everybody here. And I'll just let you come if you need to come and pray about something. You do it, Chad.
Amen. Like preacher said, there's some risk in examining your life. But I think it would be a good idea if we repurposed our hearts and let God fix our problems and just come here and lay your burdens at the feet of Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you bless this invitation now as many people are coming. Lord, I pray that your word would work in the hearts of your people now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.